Hi guys, before today's episode, I wanted to give you a very quick overview of this Lisbon Cultural Changemaker series. I am, of course, your host and founder of the Interpreting Wine podcast, Lawrence Francis. The idea for this series grew out of the fact that although I'm based in London, I'm getting called upon increasingly to cover the hospitality scene overseas. And I wondered what would it be like if I expanded the format out, featuring cultural changemakers not only in food and drink, but also in other fields, and produced a series of interviews, almost like an audio travel guide, that would allow you to listen in advance and hit the ground knowing some of the important cultural changes happening in the city. And this is my very first ever series of this kind, covering Lisbon. These five episodes will air in sequence from 284 to 288 on the Interpreting Wine podcast. And of course, if you or anyone else that you know is going to be visiting this fantastic city, please do point them in this direction so that they can hear it for themselves. And without further ado, here is today's episode of Interpreting Wine's Cultural Changemaker series, Lisbon Summer 2019. Today's episode of the podcast marks the fifth and final part of my Cultural Changemaker Lisbon Summer 2019 series, featuring Costanza, founder of Bar Toca da Raposa. Visiting her at this cocktail institution in the city, she opens up about her cocktail origin story, which included stints in London, an extensive R&D along the way. She discusses the significance of the Toca da Raposa centerpiece. She talks inspiration in Lisbon, and discusses what projects she's thinking about for the future. Enjoy.
Yeah, I'm Costanza. I'm the owner here at Toca da Raposa. This opened for a year now, which is exciting. The party is this Sunday. But I've been working in this industry for 10 years now. I studied arts in high school. My father was an architect. All my family is related to the arts. My brother, he's a musician, classical guitar in Paris. And one of my sisters, she restores paintings. So it's all quite an artistic family. And I wanted to pursue that as well. So I did arts in high school. And then it was a big crisis in Portugal. And my father, it was just before. And my father realized it is like, no, you should go to tourism because that's the future of Portugal. And I did. I was really bad at geometry, but it's like lines and solids, and I was really, really bad at that. And I knew that if I was pursuing design, I had to be good. So my dad was like, no, go to tourism. I'm like, okay, I suck at that as well, so let's do it. So I studied hotel management for 3 years, and I started to do, volunteered for internships from the first year at school. That was the thing. Like, I wanted to be good fast. So always in five-star hotels, came back from my first internship, and then started working on the weekends. And now I'm not sure. It's just there. It's the viewpoint, one of the most popular viewpoints. But I was part of the opening team of that cafe there. It was crazy. That was 10 years ago. 10 years ago, Lisbon was just starting. It was still very, very quiet. It was like tourism a little bit in summer. But it was pretty much it. So, started doing the internships. I really fell for Ritz-Carlton company. I went to Tenerife for the summer for the Ritz-Carlton, then came back and started in Sintra in Pengalonga, which is also, it's the only Ritz-Carlton here in Portugal. Stayed there for 3 years while I was finishing my degree. And 2021, I was a restaurant supervisor. And it was good. I love to host and make people feel good. It's one of my passions. It's flavor and hospitality. It's like the genuine welcoming. But I started feeling that it was not creative enough for me. And especially because I wanted to give our guests something that I did for them. And I felt that I couldn't do the product itself when you're just doing service. I could have gone to the kitchen and become a chef, but I like that immediate thing. So imagine a guest doesn't like the food, you have to, you know, go back to the kitchen, make something again. That all takes time, but for cocktails, it's a minute to change something or just add a little bit more sourness or sweetness, whatever. So I started being interested in cocktails. The company sponsored me to do a training in Spain in a bar. Yeah, nice. It was like Le Cabrera in Madrid, and at Arts in Barcelona. So I did that and came back, and then I was on my holiday for 2 weeks. And there was, at the time, it was only like a modern cocktail bar with Cinco Lounge. It's now open for, I think, 13 or 14 years. And I went there and I asked Dave Palthorpe, he's the owner, if I could work there for free for 2 weeks while on my holiday from... I was a bar manager at the Ritz-Carlton at the time. And I did that. And Dave was like, okay, you should go to London and just go for it. And I did. As Portugal at the time, it was not... There was a lot of people, because there's a lot of people that wanted to do good things. And they knew what was going on. But I think the biggest difficulty was there was no guests for that. So I think, in my opinion, to evolve and to learn, you need to do it a lot. And I realized that here it was hard. So I moved to London, started from scratch. I thought I knew a little bit about cocktails. I thought I knew a little bit, and I went there and no. I realized that I knew nothing. I started as a waitress in a, terrible bar. But it was all right. It was all right. And then you just started to going to bars and understanding, where do I want to work? That was the thing that Dave told me. He's like, first you're there, just get a job. And then you start looking for something else. That's what I did. I went there. I had I sent 100 emails, and I had 4 interviews booked when I moved. So it was pretty, in a week, I had a job. So started at that bar, and then quickly moved on the weekends. I was working at another bar, and then left that job and started bartending. And at a company called Street Feast, that is, of course, you know Street Feast. It was is run by the Rushmore Group, which is the same as Milk and Honey.
Yeah.
Yep. So it was something really chilled. It was a car park with containers, super tasty street food, and the bar was really high level, just focused on spirit. It was a gin bar, whiskey bar, rum, tequila, and I was at the started the gin, then the whiskey bar, which was super, super tiny. And I made it my own cocktails and some flowers. And that was then that I decided I wanted to have my own bar, and I wanted that centerpiece, the 2x2 Liège, this type of stone that typical from this area. And it's from the family of limestone. So it's not supposed to be a royal piece. It's just... This is how the kitchens were now and then. Now, back in the days, the top of the kitchen table is like this. Street Feast. And then I started working a little bit. I worked for a month in Happiness Forgets and moved to Original Sin, the second site. So it's all classic, quite classic type of cocktails, which was great for me to learn the basis. But then I started I want to create the ingredients of, because I started to go do competitions. And then it was a bar called Pagan Patriot that they did everything. They from the liqueurs, their ferments, their redistill, they made everything. And I wanted to work there. So I remember my boss at the time, I said, she was my boss at Happiness. I said, Marta, I really want to work there. And she's like, make it happen then. And I'm like, okay. So I did. And I started working in Pagan Patriot. And I was managing the bar for 2 years. which was great. I really learned so much and really changed the way we were. We had all the toys. We shared the kitchen with a fine dining restaurant as well. We had a centrifuge, 3 rotifabs at some point. Everything. We had everything and access to all the products we wanted. So there was no limits there, which was insane. Now I apologize. I'm still in touch with Matt Wiley, who was my boss and the owner of Beck. And I said, like, oh my God, now I opened, I realized how terrible I was with like controlling costs. It was like, oh no, I'm just going to make foie gras and chocolate vodka. It's like here. I'm like, I'm sorry, Matt. But it was great, especially because it changed my brain in a way that, of course, I had the basis of cocktails and I knew the structure, you know, spirit, and then you need some acidity and you need the sugar, and you can get it from Amaro or through a liqueur, lemon. But what changed me more in Peg was that my brain stopped thinking about the classical structures. Mm. And I just started thinking about flavor and then create, okay, I want to work with pea shoots, and that's going to be the center of, this is the flavor. And then what else am I going to add to highlight or to have a like a little fight with it? So that was the process for me. It was it was interesting. It was nice and essential for what I do now. And then, so 2 years later, 2 years at Peg, and I felt like there was nowhere else that I wanted to work. And I openly said that to Matt, and I wanted to open my own bar here. That was the plan. But 2 years after, I wanted to do 5 years in London. So a year and a half, everything was like, Matt was like, no, you should open your own bar. You're ready. And I said, okay. So came back to Portugal and decided to... I already knew what I wanted to do. I wanted what style of like the menu would be, what style of... I wanted to focus only on fresh Portuguese products, because after working in London and like with British products, you realize how lucky I am here to all the products, even like the continent and the islands. We have so much all year long. So I wanted to work with Portuguese products, but I realized that I know nothing about the Portuguese products. So I came. I decided to take a year to do some research and development about it. And I started this thing. It's called Colab, where I invited 6 teams. They were all from London, but they're all international bartenders, to come to Portugal for a day and a half, where we would forage, and then what they forage, they would create a product. And then later I use it here in the bar. So we did 6 episodes of Colab, which was really interesting. I did a lot of events with chefs as well, because doing the R&D that I was doing on my own, I was living in the countryside, I wanted to, you know, have people try my experiments. It was mostly ferments and some liqueurs. But yes, I wanted to share with people. So I did some fine dining restaurants tastings, pairing, which was really good, really interesting, and really opened doors for connections. It's in a way that I really find interesting sharing opinions with chefs, because they've been using these products for such a long time, and they have a different approach, and it's like faster than us bartenders. So this was really good, this type of events, to connect as well and give more knowledge. And then this opened. That was it, kind of. Yeah, that's it. So like 3 years ago, a lot of restaurants started opening, and people from Portugal, Lisbon, they started going to restaurants and spending more money in food, which I think it really helped the bars, cocktail bars especially, because now there's that line. People are used to spend more money in Food and Bev. So I was already prepared, I mean, optimistic about it. But it was a shock, you know, coming from London. And I didn't work anywhere. Well, I worked a little bit at Prado at the I helped them with the opening. But I didn't work actively in anywhere between London and opening this. So it was a little bit of a shock. But it was... people love it. People that come here... our motto is who returns, friend becomes. And it's really what we try to do here. Of course, yes, we are specialized in cocktails. We make all the ingredients for our drinks. We use only Portuguese product, fresh Portuguese products. We forage. We go to farms. We do all that. But our focus is... There was one day that for R&D, we had here some passion fruits and mint, which normally we don't have it. And there was... one of our regulars, she was here and, well, her boyfriend is a super regular. She normally doesn't drink. But she was talking to Domi that works here. And she was like, oh, no, the only cocktail I like is passion fruit mojito. And he was like, you know what? We have the ingredients. We're going to make it. And that's much more important for us than having people to drink our cocktails. I'm happy to have the bar full of people drinking wine and beer if they're having a good time. And that's what I feel that helped us, and it helps us, because it's still different. This place is different from most places in Lisbon. I understand it can be a little bit intimidating, but our approach is very simple, honest, and friendly. So that really helped at the opening, with the opening. Everything else, it was a very organic process, the whole thing. Because I landed on the 1st of July, 2017. And one day, I decided, like, no, I'm just gonna relax in the countryside. My God, no. In August, I already had like booked like these guest shifts with chefs and everything. I just can't. I would know. July, the whole month, I was relaxing, but like opening my company. So it wasn't really. But I remember in end of third week of August, something like that, I saw a site and I thought, okay, this is it. And I went for dinner with two friends of mine at Pistola Coração. Mm. And I said, girls, I think I found a site. Wasn't this site, it was somewhere else. And they was like, okay, I feel good. That same day, one of the friends that were there went to a party thing. And she was talking with another girl that was in charge of this site, of helping selling this site. And she texts me the day after saying, like, I know you think you found a site, but la la la, let me introduce this this place. And I'm like, no, it's too big for what I want. It's too big. Because this is 80 square meters, the whole thing. And I want it, obviously, somewhere small, because it doesn't make sense to have this in a big space. But this was August. And I said, no, it's too big. Not going to happen. The other place. Showed my brother. And my brother was like, I don't know. If you want to have more sites, and this is like your headquarters, having something bigger that you can potentially centralize your production one day could be a good idea, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, let's just see the space. Saw the space, and then it was... You know, the front is marble. That was the thing, and it really matches the piece. So that was, to begin with, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know. And then, you know, they were asking for a ridiculous price. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, the location is good. I like the front of the building, but no, this is too much. It's not real. So I abandoned the idea. And then they kept, after like a month, they started chasing me. And then we started like negotiating, and that's it. So it's literally came to me. And then it was all everything. Like I remember the architect. I went to a place. So my cousin, he's a graphic designer, a really good friend of mine. And so he does the graphics for here, not the drawings. The drawings is my nephew, but he does all the graphic part. And he said, "Oh, let's go to this place where a friend of mine, he's an architect, he did it." And I'm like, "Okay, cool, let's do it. Let's go." And I went to that place and I thought, oh my God, this place, it looks nothing like this, but it's just, I could feel like the finishes and the minds behind it. And I said like, oh, I wish Toka, I had someone like this. And then it happened. They were, I hired them as my architects and everything was super good. They're really good friends of mine now. I got a lot of people that made sense. I did a small talk one day, and I saw this guy listening and looking at me like so passionate about the project. And I was like, I need to meet this person. And then I was meeting, and he's a product designer. And but he was so interested that he did the ceramics for here. He's not even like, he does a little bit now. He's in London as well. My nephew does he's 14 now, but he's also got involved and did the drawing. So I still, and I paid them, but it was like, hey, do you want to do the drawings? I'll pay you 100 euros for 50. So it's like 2 euros per drawing, but, yeah, so it's very organic. Then I have the team. This, obviously, the opening was delayed 2 weeks, which was not so bad. Not so bad. 2 weeks. So we had a month where we were doing a lot of like visits, doing a lot of R&D together as a team, because we never worked together, the four of us. We only three now, but the original four. So it was super good to just go to bars and get to know like the people from here, because we didn't want it to know to be like, okay, we all from London and we're here, you know? No. Mm. We wanted like to know everyone and know what we were doing, knowing about the products that we were working with.
Anybody that's been here before, and certainly me when I walked in earlier, very quickly, you notice the centerpiece of the bar, and you've kind of alluded to it a couple of times before. But it's just this huge stone, really. This Lioche is the name. It's right in the center, and for me, it does an amazing thing of just making there be no barrier, really, between anybody that might come here and be drinking and the person who's there, the inverted commas, the server, the person who's making their drinks. And because everything is on a single flat level, there's as you kind of said earlier, there's kind of nothing to hide. And I'm just fascinated to, you know, hear from you kind of the story of that, because, you know, this is, I would imagine this isn't something that you kind of appears on a whim or a kind of short notice. This feels like something that you really had to kind of work towards and think a lot about. So yeah, I'd just love to hear some of the story of it in your own words.
So this stone is typical. In my grandma had a kitchen table, but like my grandma, many grandmas, and it was just where I would go. My cousin, the one that is the graphic designer, he lived there, and it was a big house, and I would go there and sit at the kitchen table and like waiting for my cousin to be ready and my other cousin, and we all sit there. So I wanted to have just people sitting around the table like my kitchen table in my house, and for people to talk to each other and sharing drinks or sharing laughs and just having a great time. And that was the idea behind it. It came to me when I was at the whiskey bar in 2014. I started thinking, like, I want just one table, and that's the bar, and everyone's sitting around, and there's no difference, there's no barrier, and just starting a conversation, it's great, and it really works here, and really, it's quite emotional sometimes, where I can feel people, and I see people that don't know each other connecting around this table, and it always comes to me like, Jesus, like, this really works. So this stone is typical from this area. This is from Pedro Pinheiro, which is in Sintra. I went there. I chose these pieces. It's an amazing place where, you see just a big hole, and they're just there taking the stones out. But you see, like, that stone, that building over there, the foundation, that's the same stone, but that's white, and this is pink. It was a big earthquake in 1755, where this area, they all had been rebuilt. That's why the streets in downtown, they're straight, and that's the new style, the organization, like more like Paris, for example. And from that on, it was the stone that was here, that was easy, and that's white, and this is pink, but there's nothing, it's normal, it's common. And the part of the outside, because everything that we do, we try, it's very raw. We do work with flavors, but when we make cocktails, the idea is to the sum of its parts be better than individual. But it's quite rough. We try not to manipulate the flavors too much. And the interior, I wanted to make sense with our philosophy. So the front and the sides of this cube, they're also, that's the it's called custaneiro, which is the, it's in con, this is the raw part. It's in contact with nature. There's no touching here. So it was really important to me for that to be on the outside.
It's still, to stress a point though, it's remarkable, and I will include a link to some photographs or some galleries which you might have on your website, because it's almost like, it feels to me like a disservice to call it a table, because it's literally, to me, it's like just this huge sort of chunk of the earth. This could have, as you're saying, this that has so much relevance, and but it's has got taps in there and it's got a sink in there, and like I say, I just keep coming back to that thing of everything being on that soul level, which I think you do see in kitchen styling a lot more in people's homes, but I think it works just so well in this space as well, and makes it, as you say, that kind of more homely, more natural to interact with the person next to you. So really, really, really cool feature, something that's actually driving the atmosphere and the way people use the space as well. So probably the architects in the family would be proud of that as well, I'm sure. So I'm wanting this series and our conversation to kind of, I guess, let people tap in to kind of what is really interesting and what is kind of what is happening in Lisbon right now, and I think you're really well placed to talk about that, having kind of gone away to learn and to almost do that research and development on yourself and kind of on your craft. And then it was very interesting to me that when you came back, you still then had a period of research and development as well. And I would, joining the dots, I'd imagine that you're still doing that constantly, 100%. Right? So I'm just curious, if you could kind of, I guess, share some of your most up-to-date thoughts, I guess, really, yeah, around Lisbon, you know, around what sort of inspiring to you, what sort of scenes, you know, be they outside of cocktails or outside of food, but, you know, just like kind of what is really, what comes to mind when I say, you know, what's sort of inspiring you at the moment in the city?
Okay. I think I'm now really focused on flavor and finding flavor and the flavor of what's around us. So for me, nature is really inspiring. I do, like, my favorite restaurant is Prado. And it's the kind of place, I was there for lunch today on my own. It's the kind of place that I like to think that we are a little bit to drinks like what they are for food, because it's very simple and it's the way they treat the ingredients. Well, it's quite clever. It's combinations, but very honest and raw. They're not too much manipulation of the products. So I think what they do is really inspiring and it's really honest. That's what I like to see, is something that is genuine and it's being truth to what they are. And it's what we try and we do here, because every day we arrive here and it's mostly Domi and me right now, but it's still like every come here every day in the morning, like around 11, and I love it, you know. I love to be here. And even Domi the other day, I was starting a little bit later, but I saw he did a story saying, and he's not very into like stories and doing that stuff, but saying like, I'm back in paradise. So seeing other places that do that for me is really inspiring. It doesn't have to be even food or food or beverage related, but just genuine and with soul. And the other thing is, now it's the first year, because last year I was so stressed with the opening. And then the early summer the year before, I wasn't here yet. And so I got here, it was the driest we've been in 100 years almost, the year that I got back. So it wasn't, nature-wise, there was not too much. Right now, there's so much. So I go forage once a week. So today I went. And it's amazing to find out. And then I keep a really good relationship with a lady. She knows everything, basically. I just text her. I just pictures, like, Fernanda. She wrote loads of books. What is this? What is that? I have all her books as well. And that's what is really inspiring me at the moment. And I follow what Empirical Spirits do in Copenhagen. And I think it's amazing. And it's, I know it's not Lisbon, you asked me about Lisbon, but I think that's definitely the way forward. And that's what I'm trying to focus as well, and just look what's around and create from there, find new flavors by combining nature around us.
So yeah, just to kind of, I guess, tie everything together, I'd really just invite you to kind of look ahead. I mean, some of the things that interested me particularly about what you were talking about earlier was, you know, was this site, you know, is this potentially going to be the first of a group of businesses or establishments? And then you did bring up Empirical Spirits Copenhagen, and I just wonder, yeah, is there potentially anything in kind of your future and the group's future that potentially parallels anything that you've seen there, or indeed anywhere else out in your research and development online?
Well, this is definitely the beginning. There is the ideas and prospects for more, but this is still a very embryonic
stage.
Yeah, we are still in an embryonic stage. But yes, 100%. I would like to focus more on doing just specific things. As in, so here we are a bar and we change the menu every week. We have some snacks, we have beers. I would love to have a place where I could focus in a lemon and just go full depth in ingredients specifically and do research full on. So yes, I would, but it's still a while to, but that's the plan. That's the plan. It was always one of my dreams, to not just open sites, but just to have, I think this started with Ritz, because I worked in Ritz-Carlton and I really relate to the philosophy of the company. And I always wanted to have a company of my own where I would put a lot, you know, and share some ethos and have people that having, because more brands think better than two or three. And I think that having more people that share the same ideas and work together can really go further down the line. And that's what it's more people for people.
Thank you so much to Constanza of Tocca de Raposa. I'm sure anybody who's been there or has looked at pictures on Instagram will agree it is an absolutely beautiful space, only bettered by the friendly welcome and amazing cocktails. Do check out the social media handles below. And I've also left the address where you can find the bar. And of course, I'd love to have you following along with me on social media, where I'm at Interpreting Wine on Instagram and Facebook, at Wine Podcast on Twitter, or email hello@interpretingwine.com. It's only left for me to say a huge thank you to all five of my guests. Between you, you covered the arts, entrepreneurship, wine, cultural events, and cocktails in the city. I'm really happy with how all of the episodes came out, and I feel like you shared just enough to get people intrigued and excited about visiting the city, but they'll go there still with an open mind and discover new things for themselves. So thank you, I will be back. And if you do go there and you happen to meet any of the guests, do let them know you heard about them on Interpreting Wine. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.